we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with an Associated Press obituary read by Harriet Cass.
The writer Henri Troyat, who fled Russia's revolution as a child and went on to become one of France's most prolific, popular and respected authors, has died. He was 95. President Jacques Chirac called Troyat a great man of French letters.
Thank God we've got the usual standard. Our thanks to Marion Dislair for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Francis Wheen and Mark Steele. And opposite them on my left, Nick Revel and Alan Corran. Now, the first question, Francis, we had a little bit of trouble here because we were going to ask you about the allegations about Ted Heath's private life that were in the papers this week, but we didn't really have the £75,000 to spare.
Good. But if you had had them, the BBC, you can be sure, even though Ted Heath is dead and can't sue, if anyone complained on his behalf, they would say, I'm frightfully sorry, we'll apologise at once, pay you 75 grand, and promise never to broadcast them again, which is what they did with my film about Harold Wilson that went out last year on BBC Four. I mean, BBC Four, only about five people watch it. And Lady Falkander, Wilson's personal political secretary, sent a solicitor's letter saying this thing is called the Lavender List. It seems to suggest I had something to do with his resignation honours list.
Shocking.
An allegation that has certainly never been made before. And the BBC were so astonished. They'd asked for this thing. They'd thought up the title of Lavender List. They said, oh, it never occurred to us you could see it that way. Okay, can we give you a lot of money for your old age? Which she has now got, thanks to the licence payers.
Seeing as this programme is a forum for people complaining about unjust settlements, I got a parking fine last week.
We move on. Francis, have a listen to this.
Oh, my old man's a dustman. He wears a dustman's hat. He wears gold blimey trousers and he lives in the council flat. He looks a proper nana in his great big dog nail boots. He's got such a job to pull them up, but he calls them Daisy Roots.
Francis, why are our public servants talking more rubbish than usual?
This is the rubbish.
It is.
Crisis.
The clue is in the word rubbish in the question.
Yes. Marauding armies of giant rats have moved into our wheelie bins and are gorging themselves.
There's no way to talk about the government.
They're scoffing away at, I think, what they call organic waste. Well, that's what it calls it on my bin, anyway. And having a very happy time, because the bins only get collected about twice a year nowadays. So there's lots of time for them to mulch down.
It's not once a fortnight.
Yeah, once a fortnight, though. You know, if you're a rat, you can put away a lot in a fortnight.
No, it's the government won't have it called once a fortnight. It's called AWC.
Alternative Week Collection.
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
It's apparently less upsetting than saying it's once a fortnight.
Well, mine are a tiny minority here. I don't really mind if it's...
Like, maybe you don't produce much organic waste, but imagine John Prescott's rubbish bin. Well, also, did you see that Channel 4 film this week?
You can't have a whole rubbish collection policy based on John Prescott.
It isn't rats, it's paupers. I mean, as this country gets poorer and poorer, there'll be more and more human beings going through the rubbish, eating poisonous food and getting my identity.
Which, once the rats start getting your identity, that's...
Yeah.
That's when it gets really scary.
Yes, indeed. We have been away for months, and we've come back to the major story, being about bin bags. God bless British politics. The collection of household bins has become a major issue in the forthcoming local elections, with 4 out of 10 councils now only emptying bins on a fortnightly basis. In fact, in some electoral wards, bins are so full, when next week's postal votes are returned, the council think they will have nowhere to put them. But a quick supplementary question. Who queued for hours to bag a bargain?
Sainsbury's people. They went to buy this 5 quid non-plastic bag. And it says on the side, just for the benefit of short-sighted people, it's not a plastic bag.
But it says, I'm not a plastic bag.
I'm not a plastic bag.
And on the other side it says, but I am a protective.
It has a personality then. It uses the first person singular, this bag, does it?
Yes, it's a personal bag.
You know a hell of a lot about Sainsbury's. I've never been in Sainsbury's. The only thing I can think about Sainsbury's, they keep the riffraff out of Waitrose.
Well, anyway, shoppers queued from 3 o'clock in the morning. What is the matter with people? At branches of Sainsbury's to snap up a designer bag for life by Anya Hindmarch for £5. There's an extra point there to Francis. Mark, who has been terrorised by a leak close to home?
Yes, it's the government have been... no, what is it? Who is it that does the leak? Someone in the government has leaked something to the press about...
Allegedly.
Allegedly about the terrorist threat or something. But it's
he didn't say it was someone in the government. This guy from Scotland Yard, he just gave a tiny clue. He said this leaking was done by misguided people trying to make themselves look good. That's why John Reid was in the frame, but... no evidence.
But anything to do with the war on terror is you just can't trust them with anything. And I was reading about this guy... Kendall Smith, who was a flight lieutenant who refused to go and fight in Iraq because he'd worked out from reading all these philosophers that it was his ethical duty to not go and fight in what he said was an illegal war. And they jailed him for not fighting in the illegal war. And now they've released him from jail, but there's still a curfew on him. So he has to be in at 6 o'clock every night, which presumably must be, they must be thinking, well, yes, because otherwise he might go and do it again. He might spend the evenings not going to other wars.
When is the Home Office splitting up into the two ministries?
Oh, very soon.
What is it, the Ministry of Love and the Ministry of Truth or something? What
yes.
Are we having? So there's an extraordinary statement. I think on the Today programme, and John Reid said he was looking forward to reshaping the Home Office so that every morning his first waking thought would be about the security of this nation. He thought, well, what has he been thinking about? Well, Tony Blair has rejected calls for an inquiry into allegations that both the Home Office and the police had endangered lives by leaking details of anti-terrorism operations. Apparently, police arrived at the suspects' addresses and found unsavoury characters intent on destroying society. People from the Mail, the Sun, the Mirror. Right. Nick, who was surprised to find their personal details free at the point of entry?
This would be the junior doctors in between qualifying and presumably signing on. All their details included in their sexuality, their religion, etc., were free to view on a National Health Service website. National Health Service called so because it's apparently neither national nor terribly healthy or indeed much of a service.
So some of those doctors could have been sold on eBay and no one would know.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, well, they're breaking down into parts now and ship them out to China, you know.
Surely, what is it, 30,000 junior doctors and 20,000 jobs or something?
Well, you're looking at me like I'm Patricia Hewitt.
No, surely
the
answer...
No answer either, leave me alone.
Surely...
It's frightening, the idea of a junior doctor, this thing in shorts with his socks rolled down, rubbing his nose on his sleeve and the MRSA running down to his elbow, living on hobnobs.
Surely...
You go in there and you say, hold this and I'll cough. And you think he's a junior doctor. When is he going to move up to Form 4?
The answer was that the Department of Health has apologised after confidential information about junior doctors on an NHS website was made available to the public. And actually, I was listening to one of the junior doctors talking about this on the Today programme, and he said, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. And I thought, you should see a doctor. It sounds like manic depression. Alan, which war hero claims her reputation was lynched?
This is Private Lynch. It's extremely sad, really. Because it proves that the American military occasionally fibs. Those who are old enough to remember Iwo Jima and know that the flag never went up that way, and the unfortunate Native American who was forced to put it up in, because it would be good for public relations and subsequently became an alcoholic, and indeed Burt Lancaster, will know that the Americans tend to lie about not to say they're not enormously brave people, but they're not the ones that get into the papers. A lot of blokes died out there, and there was this girl who was rather attractive, and the Pentagon thought, what a very good idea, we will have a heroine. She could have taken out 400 of the Iraqis, knocked out a couple of tanks, and we'll give her the Congressional Medal of Honor. Unfortunately, she was lying at the bottom of a personnel carrier at the time and didn't take any part in the action. And the hospital from which she was released by Marines going in like gangbusters tried to give her to the Marines before they went in and stormed it. They said, we've got this patient here, she's a bit nervous, and would you take her off our hands? She said, no, we're going to storm you, that's what we do. We are the 7th Cavalry. It's rather sad, it's like the 15 twerps in the rubber dinghy that were, I mean, ours. Come on, she sold the bloody stuff to the Sun. I'm convinced she rode out there with a commission from the Sun. And if it's war, I'm older than a lot of you, and so you can't call me cynical, because I've seen a lot of wars, and they all make me more cynical than the last one.
Tell you what, though, our sailors, when they saw that Iranian gunboat coming towards them, they must have felt really nervous, but on the other hand, I bet part of them was thinking, thank God it's not an American one, we'd be dead already.
U.S. Army Private Jessica Lynch has attacked the Pentagon for turning her disastrous experience in Iraq into a false tale of heroism. She testified to something called the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. You just think, I think referring to Iraq as an oversight is slightly anxious-making. At the end of round one, the scores are exactly the same. Francis and Mark have got 5, and so have Alan and Nick. We start round two with the Radio Times listings for S4C.
12.05 a.m., Eunuchs, an insight into castration. 1.05 a.m., The Sopranos.
1.05 a.m. to Malcolm Cowan for spotting that. What is S4C? What is that?
It's Welsh Channel 4.
The Welsh Channel 4, of course.
I always imagine they can't possibly have Countdown on there, though, can they? On the Welsh Channel 4. I'll have a consonant, please. I'll have another consonant, please. 5 more consonants and another consonant. 4 consonants.
Francis, who's going undercover under the covers?
Well, we know.
Yes.
I think it's about Private Dicks. The headline I read was that 49% of divorces involve a private detective. Must be getting a lot.
The Tamara Mellon, Matthew Mellon divorce case, which is before the courts as we speak.
Yes, that's Mrs. Jimmy Choo, isn't it?
Founder of Jimmy Choo, and on which a verdict has not yet been reached.
No, so obviously we wouldn't.
They're prepared to shell out $75,000 to Lady Faulkner for suggesting she once met Harold Wilson. God knows what will happen if we broadcast the thing about this. But there we are. It's your lookout.
No.
You're liable, I think, as chair.
No, I think it's moving on. A survey of divorce lawyers has found a huge increase in the number of people using private eyes to trap their adulterous partners. 1 in 6 divorcing couples now employ a private investigator. Surely the easy way to determine if a married man is lying is to have a look and see if he's breathing. See, that's right. And I will give you a point for the Jimmy Choo story, which is that the former husband of Jimmy Choo boss Tamara Mellon has been accused of hiring private investigators to hack into his ex-wife's computer, one of several hacking offences that the particular company AIS is on trial for. And we must point out that Mr. Mellon strongly denies that he spied on his wife or that he has a name more suitable for fruit.
For a brief time, though, there were a pair of Mellons, which must have excited him. A pair of melons in high heels.
Well, that's whatever is your thing, Nick.
Means.
I don't know.
A pair of melons to make a bishop kick through a stained glass window, as Philip Marlowe said when he saw Ted Heath at Salisbury Cathedral.
We're not doing the Ted Heath story.
No.
Not yet.
No, because we can't afford it. Now.
He's dead. God, the BBC's really getting subservient.
Boris Yeltsin's dead, and we're doing that.
Aren't we?
Moving on.
I'd say I was very moved by that.
Wait. Oh. Mark, for whom has the Iron Curtain gone down for the last time?
I know this. It's Ted Heath.
Yes! Can I just ring my lawyer? Very soon.
Well, presumably it's Boris Yeltsin.
Oh, well,
who,
done you.
Who indeed was the Ted Heath lookalike champion of the Soviet Union.
He was.
14 years running, yeah.
This is the Boris Yeltsin story. Yes. He's a man who made himself famous by sort of wandering through Moscow and clambering on a tank and going, right, who wants something? I'll sack you all on. And
then I'm your comrade, I am.
Yeah.
You've got to admire somebody who once played the spoons on the head of the president of Kyrgyzstan. I mean, that's not politics, that's performance art.
Francis knows a thing or two about communist Russia, and has written a great thing or two about them, and he thinks, don't you, that we're going to be fighting Putin in about 10 years.
That I'm going to be fighting Putin.
Not
you personally.
No. Is he bellicose?
Well, he's sober, which is the big difference, I think, between him and Yeltsin. It was about 1 a.m. In St. Petersburg, and he was stone-cold sober. He wouldn't have got that with Yeltsin.
Tony Blair's called Putin a great modernist, because there's no more modern way than killing people than with radioactive sushi, I suppose. And probably like Blair, he probably...
Having a Yeltsin moment here.
For listeners at home, that was a poor KGB attempt on Mark's life.
No.
This is the sad news that the Russian ex-president and leading orchestra conductor Boris Yeltsin died this week. He was, of course, Russia's first democratically elected president until Putin, which in fact makes him Russia's only democratically elected president. Alan, why might home truths be a pack of nonsense?
There is this pack where you have to show everything you've got and the length of the lease and the drains and what you've had done to this house in an attempt to sell it to people who will buy it anyway. Houses are going up by 100% every Wednesday, and it doesn't matter what you say. If the pack says this is actually a leper colony, we'll buy it, we'll take it. Okay, here's the money. So it's rubbish.
You just have to stick a loaf of bread in the oven, don't you, if you've got the leper colony evidence there. It
balances
out. Yeah,
a bit of coffee on the radiator. Yeah.
It's terrific. Oh, those lepers.
Don't need to bother with the bread, honestly. A pan of boiling water with a vanilla pod in it. Mmm, fantastic. Not that I've ever done that, but that does smell just...
It's so lost, what, and that's, was that a cure for leprosy? The
yes.
Organic cure. Homeopathic cure.
That's correct, Mark. Now, apparently, lawyers and mortgage lenders have warned that home sellers' packs, which become compulsory on the 1st of June, may be useless. As they don't contain enough information for lenders to accept them. The packs were designed to help struggling first-time buyers and were originally advertised at £600, although since someone pointed out that you can, in fact, sellotape 15 of them together into a studio flat, they're now 50 grand each. So, yes, 2 points there to Alan. And at the end of round two, Francis and Mark have got 8 points, but Nick and Alan have leapt into the lead with 12. Before we start round three, here is a snippet from an article on workplace romance.
Recent research at the University of Westminster suggested that office romances can actually increase productivity rather than diminish it, although there may be a short initial bedding-in period.
And our thanks to Mr. G. Willett for sending us that. Francis, why does the news remain an age-old question?
Is this Moira Stewart?
It is.
Who, well, she was in many ways the Harriet Cass of her generation, really.
Very careful.
Much loved, national figure. Mm-hmm. Probably the face and voice of the BBC for many people. Loved from the Falkland Islands to Hong Kong, and she's been cast aside like a used bit of organic waste that's been sitting there for 2 weeks. And that's the end of her. Mark Thompson gave evidence to, I think, a parliamentary committee this week and was asked about Maura Stewart. He was meant to be talking about the future of the BBC and all the questions about, yeah, but what about Maura Stewart? That's what we want to know about. What are you going to do? And he said, well, we don't really do newsreaders anymore of her sort. We want journalists reading the news, so the old traditional newsreaders are defunct.
She's not even a real woman.
Who's not a real woman?
Natasha Kaplinsky.
Well, exactly. No, he said, we have proper, hard-bitten journalists. I thought, Natasha Kaplinsky.
I met Trevor MacDonald once in a cinema. I was in the cinema, and I thought, is that Trevor MacDonald? And at the end, I sort of said hello, and as he was sort of saying to her, he put his hand out, and he went, Trevor MacDonald. And you honestly expected him to go, news at 10. Felt slightly cheated that he didn't.
I met Reginald Bosanquet once.
But he didn't remember meeting you, I'm sure.
Not the following morning, no.
It is terrible how that stuff sticks, isn't it? You remember, Reggie is a drunk.
Well, he liked a bevy.
Francis will know this. I'm just filling in time.
You're not
going to
make
extra point.
Bosanquet's about Hugh Edwards, are you?
No. Bosanquet's father invented the googly.
He did, yeah.
Alan, I hate to be really, really pedantic, but I think it was his grandfather, wasn't it?
You love to be really pedantic, and I think you're right. Probably.
Oh, I can't live until we know the truth.
Your Bosanquet would have been born around like you. I think he's right.
You mull that over. Be here for some
time. Henry Blofeld's father was the man who gave his name to James Bond's villain as well.
Oh, get on with
it.
Let's get back to Moira. They can't get rid of Moira Stewart. She's an institution.
You know, Jonathan Agnew's father was Spiro Agnew, the former vice president of the United States.
You know, that is bizarre, because I did meet him once. But anyway, yes, during a meeting of the Culture, Media and Sport Select Committee. I don't know why they have a committee for that. Why don't they just select one and get it over with? I'd go for culture. The BBC's Director General Mark Thompson was forced to deny that Maura Stewart has been dropped from the news because of her age. Hugh Edwards responded to this news by snarling a bit and looking grumpy. Nick, have a listen to this. might we not be alone?
Well, because of the audience. Well, they've discovered a planet called Gliese 561A or something. It's based on a Berlin postcode from the 1930s for some reason. It's at about the same orbit from its sun to suggest that it might support life and so on, and similar to Earth, but bigger, apparently. And it's older as well.
Mm.
So presumably all the people who live on this planet are at the moment going, oh no, look, it's the Earthlings. They've got a telescope on us. Lie down and pretend no one's in. It would take 20 years for radio and TV signals to get from here to there. So they're all perceiving us in the 1980s. And they're thinking, wow, what a terrible mess.
Well, that means it won't be there, though, because if it's 20 light years, the only thing to be sure of is it was there 20 years ago. And if it's anything like this one, it's probably blown itself up by now.
Yes, indeed, astronomers have announced the discovery of Gliese 581C. That's a cracking name, isn't it? An Earth-like planet 21 light years away that they believe could sustain extraterrestrial life. It's 120,519,500,000,000 miles from Earth, which explains the large mileage that John Redwood claims on his daily commute. Quick supplementary question. Is it a bird, is it a plane, or is it a mineral?
Oh, kryptonite.
Yes.
Yes, they found it in Serbia.
I know.
It's very hard to say anything really about that.
Except
I don't know how they found it. You would think as the blokes approached it, they fell over in long lines. You wouldn't pick up kryptonite, but how do they know it's kryptonite? Well, you need Superman to find out where it works.
He was walking ahead. Yeah.
It's a mineral that apparently has the same elements as kryptonite.
But kryptonite doesn't have any elements.
It's made up.
It's a comic book.
There's a bit in the comic where there's a glass case where it says sodium benzazine doodle doodle doo, and this is
it. It's like saying there's a mouse in my house which is exactly the same as Mickey. Only it doesn't have a straw hat and a cane, and it's not married to Minnie in high heel Jimmy Choo's. You can't say kryptonite is like kryptonite.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. They've christened the new mineral jaderite. Scientists denied it was named after Jade Goody, despite the fact that its flaky has no obvious use and should be kept down a mine. Alan, who isn't barking mad anymore?
Oh, this is Prozac dogs, isn't it? Yeah. It's wonderful. It's beef-flavoured. I mean, my Prozac, it's just Prozac flavour, but it's a better life if you're a dog. No, but apparently dogs are very long-faced and miserable and unhappy, and they're being encouraged to have Prozac. Think about Prozac. If you remember from the Prozac generation, it makes you either suicidal or extremely happy. And if the dogs are miserable, they'll be throwing themselves off things.
Oh, really? I thought it was to make them feel happy.
No. There's a awful side effect of Prozac, that about 5% of bipolars who are treated with it jump off things.
But presumably the dogs don't read the bit in the...
Yeah, but they can climb. Yeah. You can get to the top of the post office tower. You really don't want to be walking down Cheney Street and have an Afghan landing on your head.
Surely.
Sorry, I don't mean that as Muslims. There's a golden retriever landing on your head.
The manufacturers of Prozac have produced a version of the antidepressant for dogs. The canine happy pill is chewable and tastes of beef, which is more than can be said for a McDonald's quarter pounder. Quick supplementary question. Who's been conned by a sheep in a poodle's clothing?
Oh, all these Japanese, rich Japanese people went onto this website which was selling miniature poodles, which are apparently very popular in Japan at the moment. And this, I can't remember if she was an actress or some kind of TV personality. She was on a chat show and she was saying that she's very disappointed about this miniature poodle that she'd bought because it wouldn't bark or, fetch sticks or inject itself with Prozac or anything. And it turned out that, in fact, what happened was that this company were importing sheep from Australia and from Britain and from Wales and trimming them like a miniature poodle. Selling them to Japanese people.
Apparently, as many as 2,000... Japanese dog lovers, and I use the description advisedly, been conned into buying lambs. Sean, like poodles, and the scam was indeed rumbled when a leading Japanese actress, Maiko Kawakami, showed photographs of her pet on a television talk show, saying she was worried that it wasn't barking and wouldn't eat dog food. Apparently, it's not that surprising. Sheep are rare in Japan, almost as rare as whales, and... Imagine if you'd bought one as a sheepdog.
He gets on ever so well with the others.
You're having a lovely time. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
Sandy, this is from The Guardian. It's a case involving a council tenant who had allegedly been using, actually knocked two houses into one to create an illegal nightclub, allegedly, among other things. Allegations of running a nightclub, as well as drug dealing, rent arrears and antisocial behaviour have been levelled at the family during the case. All the allegations have been denied. One allegation is that one of her sons grew cannabis in his bedroom and it could be smelled by council officials. But she insisted the odour was that of her son's feet. The case continues.
Mark.
This is an advert in a Leicester newspaper. Environmental eco casket made from cardboard with a wood grain effect looks like a normal coffin with a domed top. Six carrying handles can carry up to 20 stone. It's an advert. It's currently flat packed, very easy to unfold. Ideal for ecologically sound burial or cremation. An unwanted gift and is as new. See, that's recycling, never mind your bloody alternative weekly rubbish.
Nick.
This is a job advert sent in by somebody called Justin Case. I don't know if that's a pseudonym, it might be. It's posted by West Sussex County Council. Racist Incidents Coordinators. And it says, we are seeking two enthusiastic and committed individuals to lead the West Sussex Racist Incidents team into its next exciting phase. You will be responsible for coordinating racist incidents across West Sussex.
Alan.
Well, Sandy, this was a letter in Wednesday's Times, and so we should read out the correspondent to the great editor, Miss Martha Bertrand from Elgin in Morayshire. And she said, last Sunday I picked up our latest church newsletter, and on the front page was the following notice. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. in the hall. Please go to the side entrance and use the large double doors.
Let's take a look at the final score. Francis and Mark have got 15, but this week's winners are Alan and Nick with 17 points. And before we leave you, here's a headline from the Salisbury Journal sent in by Michael Darby.
White blackbird spotted.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the new speaker, Francis Dean, Mark Steele, Nick Greville and Alan Pine. In the chair is Sandy Toxic and the news is read by me, Harriet Cass. The chair's script is written by Simon Littlefield, Roderick Crooks and Lucy Clark. The producer was Ed Morrish.